Mr. Carter, reel 3. You were in hospital with pneumonia?
Yes.
How long were you there?
3 months. I was on the DRI, dangerously ill list. I think I'd been unconscious for about a week. And I came round, mother was sitting beside me. I had this here oxygen tube in my nose, and I was very slow coming round again. I got onto the serious ill list, and the two orderlies, RAMC orderlies, well, their nickname is Rob All My Comrades, and one of them lived up to it. He borrowed money off me, and I never got it back. He was a right sort of a guy, that one. The other one was all right, because they had to take a test at me, take fluid off my lungs, and stick it into my lungs like it. And he's the only one who said, I felt very sorry for you when I did that, which was like, it made me gasp like. At any rate, I'd been in bed that long that I'd flat creak when I got up. So by rights, I should have been discharged or sent to a course, which is Calvary or Engineers or RAMC by rights, but they didn't bother with me. Well, after 3 months, they gave me a warrant to go back to Richmond. I went back with another lad. And going up to the barracks, it's a pretty steep hill, and I know I stopped halfway up to get my breath. However, the next morning I went in front of the doctor, and he gave me a month's leave, and I went home for a month. Then I reported back to Richmond, and I started my training. And
it fitted up, of course, by this time.
Yes, yeah. I soon recovered, like. In fact, at one time, when I was recovering in hospital, I'd eaten one dinner, and they said, "Did you want another one? Or a spare one?" And I ate that and all. It would put me on a tonic, and they said, "You'll soon get round and be fit again."
This was a military hospital you were in?
Oh, yes. Wooden huts.
Was it strong regimental military discipline in the hospital?
Oh, it was rough. In fact, this orderly came to me once. I could hardly sit up with all the culture of the ward for me to clean. I could hardly sit up. See, with me being a rookie, he put on me, you see. You don't go to the old soldiers. And I had your bump in the floor, and oh, it was real rough. And I got out of there, as I said. And we started training. And I'll always remember the first training, we were on the square, and the sergeant was taking us on how to, when an officer approaches you, you have to come to attention, then say, "Sir." Now there was a Geordie lad, Tug Wilson they called him, he couldn't do it. He would come to attention and say, "Sir." And this sergeant kept trying to approach him to get it right, you see. It finished, took off his hat, flung it on the ground. He said, "I can't do it, sergeant." Right, there was no other option. Escort, and away to the guard room. At the bottom of the square is the guard room. And there's always a regimental policeman on duty outside there. Evidently, he'd seen what had happened, and he'd gone inside to open the cell door. Now, the escort, he was built like a racehorse, he had a nose like one. He set off at the double, and Tub just trudged behind. He just looked ordinary. Well, next morning after PT, we were anxious to find out what had happened. There was Tug sat in he'd been tried, and he was sat on his bed, and I said, "What's happened?" And he burst out laughing. He says, "Look at him," he says. He says, "When I got to the guard room, he said, they had him locked up in cell. He said, he'd galloped straight in, and the policeman had slammed the cell shut." He was laughing away like.
The drills that taught you, the very beginning of those of your army career, would be basically similar to what you'd had in the cadets, were they? The very, very beginning of the basic training.
Well, before you could go out, you had to learn stick drill.
How was that?
Well, it's a matter of counting. You had your swaddy stick, and if you approach an officer, and there was two or three of you, you more or less counted one, two, three, sticking under your arm, one, two, three, up and saluted, you see. You had to judge them steps, and you weren't allowed to go out till you could do that, which we only got out on a Saturday night, maybe to go to the picture. That's the only time we got out.
The very first drill that you were taught, what was that?
It would be about turn and, marching up and down.
Well, the Green Howards are heavy infantry. They don't do light infantry pace.
No, they don't, yes.
So you'd learn to presumably left turn, right turn, about turn.
That's right.
And initial marching.
Course, yes.
And did they demonstrate that to you before you did it?
Well, you always had a lance corporal and a sergeant, and the lance corporal demonstrated it to you from that and the other. But at Rivali, when Rivali went, you were straight out of bed, made your beds up. Now, the barracks at Richmond is like two blocks, and there's an upstairs block and a downstairs block. That's like four. Because 12 weeks, when you reckon up 12 weeks training, one of them blocks is going to be empty. The way, you see, they're always coming in and going like that. So there'll be about four squads on different systems leading up to the final legs send-off. And you got up, made your beds, you swept it out and that, and one of you was appointed to go down to the cookhouse for gunfire, for your tea, gunfire and biscuits. And we were up on the top floor, and you know what pigs are like when they hear a bucket squeal, like. Well, that what just used to happen with us, like. As you come upstairs and they heard the bucket, they rushed out with the mugs and in there, So when it was my turn, I thought, I'll beat you lot, like. I took the own mug and I crept up the stairs, put it down gently, got me tea and my biscuit and went in. And let them rush for the rest, you see.
Was there always enough? Did everyone get
a cup
of tea?
In fact, there was one bloke, I remember. I think he'd been in the army before. He was Irish. He had a tough beard. He used to use his gunfire for shaving. We had no hot water or nothing like that, he used it for shaving.
Can you describe to me the barrack block? You say that was in four rooms, in effect, with the stairs in the middle, presumably.
Yeah.
Where were the ablutions, the washrooms and the toilets, in relation to your sleeping quarters?
There were somewhere downstairs. Yeah.
And you said you didn't have hot water?
No.
It was cold water.
All cold water, yes.
The barrack room itself, how many men could it hold, or would it hold?
I think our squad was about 30. Squad.
Did the squads have individual names?
Yes.
What was your first one?
Yeeps squad.
And there were 30.
Somewhere after the South African War, Barneyberg squad, on that.
Presumably places that the regiment had served in.
That's right.
And within the 30 men within the room itself, did you get on well together? Was there any bullying or initiation ceremonies as you hear about from time to time?
No, we got on very well together, squads. It was a bit of rivalry with other squads, like, you know. Yes. Oh, myself, I've never read Geordie speak, and a lot of Geordies came into my squad, and I thought I was in the Foreign Legion when I heard one say, like, put your jokes on, Cabell. I thought, good on, mate, I mean, what's that like? You know what it means, don't you? I know what those grand lads was then. And this Tug Wilson, he was a queer lad, this Tug. We'd been playing football up in the old Barrack one night, and we broke a pitcher, and one of the lads had sneaked off to tell the officer. It was Sunday, it was, and of course he came up and gave us a dressing down and said, who's done this? And I think Tug was. Anyway, no, we got a good dressing down and something like. And then one night, just before lights out, my bed was on the door near the exit. And it was just going to lights out, and Tug came in with a bucket of water. He put it again in my bed. Lights went out, and I'm laid there listening. I knew what was going to happen tonight. I thought, to hell with it, he's not come for a bucket of water. Because you can hardly lift a bucket of water up without a creak or something like that. But he'd been that quiet. I heard such a big swish, and all the water, the water went over this bloke who squealed on him. And best of it all was, he was next to the Lance Corporal in charge, and it went over him and all, you see. And, of course, it dipped downstairs under the beds below. And of course, up comes officer. So we'd done this, and Tug admitted it, and away in the guard room we went again, like. I think you got 7 days for that.
Will there be a lot of horseplay within the barrack room itself with young men?
Well, no, there wasn't a lot of horseplay because we were too busy cleaning our kit and that, you know, uniforms and that, brushing up. And
can we go on with the barrack block? There's 30 men in the room. How were the beds arranged?
Two sides. There was like a stove in the middle, which was only maybe knocked over. But it didn't throw out much heat. Worst of it was you had to keep it black lady. That was the thing about that devil. No, they were all downside, like a dormitory, you know, two sides.
What were the beds like?
Oh, the,
could you push them together? Or?
Push them, made them up in the morning, yes. Push them in, and the blankets, and made your bed up.
And your blanket squared off, as they used to say.
Yes. And you had these sheets. They were like calico sheets. They were rough and ready. That was the best of India, though. You got cotton sheets. They were rough.
How many of those did you have?
Two.
And then so many blankets?
About two blankets, yes.
Pillows? Did you have pillows? Pardon? Did you have pillows?
Yes, a pillow.
Where did you put your uniform and equipment?
You only took the back of your bed. You had like a square pegs at the back, and you shimmied them there.
Lockers? Did you have lockers?
There was a bit of a locker where you put the kit in. It had to all be in a certain standard, like laid out.
Did the NCOs inspect the room every morning at a particular time?
Well, the officer would come around when we were out on parade, I suppose, and walk around and that.
Did you have to have a person on a rotor in charge of the block or the room during the day?
No. Like
a room.
No, it's strange you ask that, because out in India you have to have a room, obviously.
And you didn't have one at the depot?
No.
The floor of the room it would be wood, no doubt.
Yes.
Highly polished?
Ah, we had to polish it, yes.
How was that done?
With good bumpers.
That's a big, heavy cleaning block on shank. Mm. And were you? And was this the bumpering was done in some kind of rotor system where they take turns using it?
No, I may be wrong. No, I think we just swept it and kept it clean. I think I was thinking of the hospital there. No, we only swept it and kept it clean. Yes.
You mentioned the table in the middle of the room. Was that a long table?
No, there wasn't a table in the room. There was only the stove, the black.
Just the stove itself?
Yes.
And you had to keep that highly polished?
Yes. Black lady and room inspection and that.
So, what time would Ravalli be?
6 o'clock.
And how was that done? Was that just someone coming along and waiting?
No,
waking?
The bugle was sound.
You woke to the bugle?
Yes.
And you'd get out of bed, as you say, and you'd wash and shave if you did.
And make your bed up.
What would happen next?
You'd go out, the old depot would parade on the square. That's all the who were in training. The RSM would take them on parade. He'd shout for a marker. The marker would go out and then he'd shout, "Get on parade, you all get on parade." And then as you progressed.
Were markers allocated? There was a man who knew he was going to be a marker before the order, was he?
I suppose he would, because he'd be a lance corporal somewhere and he'd march out.
Was this done with your uniform on, as against denims?
Denims. Yeah.
Did you get your uniform quite quickly? You did mention you got denims the first day.
Yes, you did, you got the uniform quite quickly. Right?
And was that handed out in the usual army style of looking at you and saying, "That's your size"?
Or did I think it was, yes. I just can't remember how we received them, but I think we'd pick our sizes and they had a good idea.
There was a regimental tailor to put them together. What did they issue you with as a uniform?
Shoes, trousers, booties, headdress, and you had your underwear, vests, and underpants.
Did you have a best uniform and a second one which you wore for most occasions?
No, we only had one uniform.
And the equipment that they issued you with, what was that?
You had your rifle, bayonet, and your wedding.
Packs?
Yeah. And packs, yes. Mm-hmm. Bayonet, fixing bayonets was a real manoeuvre. I don't know whether you've done it or not, but...
The bayonet drill, was there?
No. Fixing bayonets, yeah. When you're on parade, you'd be on the square and you'd shout "fix" and the man on the right hand would go out so many paces and then he'd say "bayonets" and he'd flick his bayonet out up into the air and you followed him that like. It was a matter of counting, and then you're watching him, and when he flicked his bayonet into his bayonet pouch, you flicked yours, and then you were counting 1, 2, 3, and you come up with your rifle back to your side. Like, it was real, to see that bayonets all flashing like was a real sight, if you wanted, especially in sunlight, it must have been a real sight. It was a very tricky manoeuvre to do it properly, we mastered it and got it off.
Was that the long bayonet?
Yes.
And that itself would have to be kept clean as well as...
All clean, yes. You were forever polishing. Oh, not everything could be polished.
Yes, all the equipment that you've just mentioned would have to be cleaned. How did you clean your equipment?
Yeah, blanco for the web equipment.
What colour was that?
Green. And yeah, brush out to clean the buttons and
Blanco is a kind of a powder, is it, or a
like in a
solidified cake? How actually did you clean it? Put the blank onto the webbing. How was that done?
Yeah, the brush and just wet water and goes in and put.
It's like painting.
Yeah, it's like painting.
And your brushes, you would have to have some implement to stop the brushes getting
stick.
Onto the
button stick. That's a brush. Like the channel where it goes through
behind the button.
Goes behind the button, yeah, yes. You could put five buttons on. Clean five buttons at a time.
How did you keep creases in your trousers?
Ah. You laid on them. You get cardboard. You put it under your bed. Some of them just to get some water in the mouths, run along the creases, wet them, and then put the trousers underneath, and you've got a good crease then.
There wasn't a room iron or iron allocated to the room for your use?
No iron.
Just purely on the bed?
In fact, for final inspection, there was an old soldier in the medic quarters. I called him Shiny Dawson, I know his name now, and he used to take our uniforms to his quarters, and his wife would iron them all and then bring them back. Of course, we were charged like out of our pay, like he was on a good thing. But that was for the final inspection before we were posted to regiment, you see.
Coming to look at the packs, what packs were you issued with?
Packs.
The webbing, with part of your webbing.
Oh, it's rather, you could get a lock in a pack.
Did you have to square your pack off with, to keep them looking smart?
Yes, you squared them off as much as you could.
And that was done with cardboard, was it, or?
Well, not at the depot, but at the regiment, they had like some cardboard or something that squared them off, and it was put upon the shelf square on. Yes. There was another thing at church parade. We used to go, when we got so many weeks into training, we were marched to the church down in Richmond. And the lad who'd been classed as a best recruit for that period, right? He was allowed to go and turn the remembrance book page over in there. Church. And then we marched back, and at the bottom of the barrack hill was the drummer, and he was there to play us up, thump, thump, all the way up like to the barracks, because it's a steep climb to Richmond Barracks. And then we were free for the rest of the day.
And that was every Sunday, was it?
Every Sunday.
You see, you were woke on the morning, obviously, for a valley, and we've got you cleaned and so forth, and then you went out onto the square with the RSM's parade.
Yes, I think it was for roll call, I think, to report everything.
What happened after that?
We were then dismissed, and we went for breakfast.
Did you march to breakfast, or just make your own way there?
Just made your own way. Cookhouse sounded, and you made your own way.
Again, by the bugle?
Yes.
What would you likely get for breakfast?
Well, not very much. Bit of bacon and bread and that night and tea.
Was this on a cafeteria system, or did you sit at tables?
Well, we sat at a table. I getting mixed up here because the regiment and all the one at the end of the table had to go to where they kept it on a tray, you see, and then let it out. I don't know whether we did the same there at the depot. I can't remember that.
Had you been issued at the depot with mess tins?
With a mug and wet plate and
a knife, fork and spoon. So that you would take those to the cookhouse and your food would be put into that?
Yes, we must have done, because I've just said about the gunfire, and I let me cook like the tin cook.
After breakfast, what was the next thing that would be likely to happen to you?
It could be PT, it could be weapon training. Maybe a lecture.
And you'd work to a timetable, a programme?
Well, there was a programme put up each week, different programmes. You could see what was going to happen the next week.
Did you have a break in the middle of the morning?
Yes.
How long was that for?
It would be about half an hour.
So that you could presumably get a cup of tea or something?
I know when I, first few weeks I was back, they put me on milk. I had to go down to the cookhouse and pick a bottle of milk. Not what the other lads got. Whether they went to the canteen and got something, I don't know. I forgot about that.
They certainly looked after you after your illness, didn't they?
Yes.
You got your leave and then you got your milk and...
Oh, yes. But I think the depot was one of the happiest times I could remember. We were all close together, we were all fit as could be, all looking forward to going to join the regiment, you know. And we grew to be just one happy family together as a squad, you know.
After the morning break, for the rest of the morning, what would you be doing?
Well, as I said, weapon training, all sorts of things.
Weapon training, obviously, you had the 303 rifle. What form did that take? What kind of things were you doing in your training?
Bayonet training.
What was... How was that done?
You had these little dummies in sacks like, and you went forward and stuck your bayonet into them and withdrew and carried on like.
And were you encouraged to shout as you went in?
Oh, yes.
You had a great deal of bayonet training.
Quite a lot, yes.
Was it looked upon as a serious weapon that the infantry soldier had, the bayonet?
Well, it looked a fearsome weapon when you come to think that a German could stick that in, do you like that? It must have been tremendous in the First World War. Because in the Second World War, I don't think the bayonet was used so much. Right?
Now, that this train then would bring you up to lunch. What happened at lunchtime?
Cookhouse sounded again. I remember once we were upstairs letting the bugle going. The messing officer, Lieutenant Swan, it was, he had a funny old dog. And this is Geordie Human, is this? This lad was looking out at the window like, he says, "I didn't think it's going to be much today," he says. "Even bloody dogs turn his nose up."
What did they give you for lunch? Dinner, it would be your dinner, of course.
We were on Chinese tin rabbit. Chinese tin rabbit. And all the rabbits we have in this country.
It's a pretty basic food and solid.
Very basic. And there was one time we had to attend for dental inspection, right? And I was sat on this form outside his office. with another lad, and he was born in a bucketful. He was saying, I'm going to refill his dental treatment. He said, he's a butcher in there, he was nearly crying like. But he had to go in and have his teeth done, and that was that.